Well, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Angel and I take time and answer the many questions that you've sent in.
Yes.
And we try to go through and pick out the ones we think are the most relevant for what we're dealing with today. So we made a good selection. So, Angel, what do you say we jump in?
And I want you to know before we start today, we are so grateful for you. You're a gift to us. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for taking the time to listen and sending in your questions.
Yes.
All right, Joe, my husband and I have been married for over 20 years. We have four children ranging from 9 to 18 years old. We both work full time. He works from home with a flexible schedule. I work mostly in office, an hour away, 4 days a week. Oh. He's very laid back. I always feel like I have to be the leader. We've had the same battle for the last 18 years. I need him to step up and do some discipline, enforce house rules, and follow through. I need him to help around the house, too. He hates conflict, so he avoids it. Even with our children, I'm always the bad guy, all the time enforcing rules, discipline, homework, and housework when I'm home. My house is not a peaceful place I can come home to and find rest. What can I do? I am so tired of my own repeat conversations. That is a great question.
Well, I'll let you take that since you're the lady of the house.
Well, she's talking about the man of the house needing to step up.
Well, he's not going to do it. He's doing what he thinks is normal. And she's driving him nuts, and they hate to see mom come home. They all, the kids hate to see mom. Oh, dear God, mom's going to be home in another 20 minutes. Oh, dear God, mom's coming home. Mom's coming home. Dear God, mom's coming home. Because you're a scare because you, the way you feel. And you need to deal with your husband one-on-one and not as a family unit. It's like, come home smiling every now and then.
Okay, now I don't agree with you on
that. Yeah, bring some cheeseburgers. He is not going to change until you sit down and talk to him and not gripe. Men hate gripes.
Well, it doesn't say in here that. Oh, well, it does. She said.
They'll lock up on you. They'll lock up on you. They're not listening to a word you say. They'll stare at you. They'll nod their head. They're not listening. That's why you got 20 years and nothing's changed. So, you got to step one step at a time. Hey, honey, tomorrow, can you do this one thing for me? Just this one thing. I really appreciate it. You just back him everything one time before I get home. Be really good. I really appreciate it. I won't have to do it. He'll do it. Give him one simple thing to do. He'll do it. You give him 12 things, not going to do it. Next day, maybe another week from now, you can add a second thing. Hey, honey, do you mind washing those dishes, put them in the dishwasher for me before I get home? I appreciate that. Keep it simple and keep it with a smile on your face. Otherwise, he's locked up until Jesus comes. He'll never open up. He dreads seeing you come home. He's in his own world. Men live in their own world. And that's why God gives us women, because we don't have a clue. You are the salvation of your family, but you got to watch how you deliver it. The delivery is critical.
I remember when I first heard about the woman that did everything. She's got her business going. She's taking care of the kids. What is that, the Proverbs woman?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what does he do? He's sitting at the gate looking good. I'm like, that's not right.
That ain't right. There's got to be another proverb. They stop short.
Well, and today, typically, you know, and there would be a time that you would be doing all that responsibility, but you wouldn't be having to go to work, too. So that has changed the dynamics.
Yes,
where
it has.
The responsibility should be more shared. Now, I was a single mother. My children were 9 and 13 when I became a single mom. Even prior to that, I had been the main disciplinarian, and I lived a life similar to what you're saying.
Yep.
Now, that wasn't what caused us to get a divorce, but
it was in there.
It did play a role. Not a huge role, but it did play a role. But, you know, I was exhausted a very large portion of the time. However, let's fast forward just a little bit. I don't see you as so much the bad guy as the person that just says, okay, nobody else is going to be responsible,
yep.
So I will be that person.
And that's exactly what it is.
However, here's the thing. When your children are challenged or in trouble, it will be you they go to. There's a reason every time you watch football, the camera gets into one of those pro athletes' faces or college-age faces or high school-age faces. They always say, hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
They never say, hey, Dad.
No, Dad. Always Mom.
Because Mom is the stability of their lives.
Yeah.
She's their rock.
Yeah.
And I know that my kids know that I'm not perfect, but they know they can depend on me. Yeah. And if they need anything, I'll be there.
And you'll tell them the truth.
I will definitely tell them the truth. And they will tell me the truth. And sometimes I don't like that.
That's another sermon.
Yes. Now, one thing that I would encourage you, because this stuff can make you very emotional. Now, years ago, I had a very hot trigger, and it was very emotional. I was raised in a home where my mother had a violent temper, and you tend to duplicate what you've seen. And when I went through the divorce, I had a year that I really just, for lack of a better term, I had surgery on myself. And I went back to through everything in my life. What part did I play in the divorce? Because the divorce is never one-sided. Where was I responsible? And then I was like, what? Now, did I believe in God just because my parents told me to or my husband told me to? Well, why do I believe what I believe? And I had to go through every bit of that. And it really changed me. And I determined that I wanted to have a home full of peace. I realized that my mother was full of drama and I married drama. And that pattern was continuing, and I didn't want that anymore. I wanted a house of peace. Now, have you ever been to somebody's house, and you walk in and you know, uh-oh, they just had a fight.
Yeah.
And it's very, very awkward.
Walking on eggshells.
And the woman normally sets the tone. Now, I have been in homes where men did, where they were so angry and everything that everybody's walking on eggshells with them. But typically, the woman sets the tone in the home. Yeah. And I determined that I was never going to yell. I was going to never raise my voice, that it was going to be a home full of peace, and I was going to talk. And it wasn't natural to me. I'm going to be honest with you. And I had to learn a lot. I had to say I'm sorry a lot. But I did learn, and it did change, and my home became a very peaceful place, and it still is. And I can tell you, you could come to my house anytime, day or night, and you'd feel welcome.
Yes.
And you'd feel peace.
Yes.
And that's something.
It's the real thing.
Something that I've worked hard at, and I applied my faith to, and I asked God to help me with. Yeah. So you can do that. And my children will tell you, they've never heard me yell. But if I get quiet, I'm terrifying to them.
So. Yeah. Mom doesn't yell, she goes
sometimes,
the opposite direction.
Sometimes you can have more power with what you don't say than what you do. Because they do turn you off if you're just like, I told you a million times. Sounds like Dino in Fred Flintstone. So I remember one time my son, and I've shared this before, but my son was probably 16, and he talked sharply to me, which I never allowed that in our home, to them, to each other, or to me, or to anyone else. And so I just got real quiet, and I looked at him, and I said, my expectation is you're going to speak to me in the same respectful tone that I speak to you in. And he dropped his head. He said, I'm sorry. And he has never spoken to me that way again. And so if you show them respect, they'll show you respect.
Yes.
If you believe God for peace, it will come. But the devil's going to fight you tooth and nail. It's something that you're going to have to fight for. But if you want what you've never had, you're going to have to do what you've never done.
Whoa.
And so my suggestion is for you to take a step back and say, I can't make my husband do anything. But what I can do is I can work on me. I can work on my delivery. I can work on my communication. I can work on what is important to me, what I value, and you know that I can change.
You can make him feel bad for not loving you. You can. That's a wild thing, but you can make him feel so bad. Why is my wife so nice to me? Because I'm not that nice to her. Love of God.
Yeah.
That's a powerful thing.
It is true. I mean, it is true. Your changing yourself will put a spotlight on his flaws.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit can do that. You yes. don't have to do it for him. I mean, I know, Joe, everybody has quirks. Everybody has their own little things. And I know Joe hides his clothes from me because if something touches the ground or my hands, I was just raised this way, that if you touch a towel, it's dirty. So I'm a mess of washer. I'm a laundry person. I stay up on my laundry, and I'm kind of obsessive about it. So Joe hides his clothes from me.
I do. I'm good at it, too.
But I've learned all the little hiding places. But it drives him crazy. I can hear him when he gets, like, when he's getting ready to get dressed, and he'll open a secret place that he thinks he's hiding at, and he'll go, burr, 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 burr. I hear him in there.
Oh, God.
I just laugh.
She's found it again.
I just laugh to myself. But I just encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to yes. give you wisdom.
He will. He will.
He will. He will. And it can change the entire atmosphere
God
of your home.
God wants you to have a peaceful home more than you want one.
He really does. Joe, life gets busy, and I feel my kids and I are drifting apart. I want to be involved with them, but don't want to be annoying. Any ideas?
Well, I'd have to know the ages.
Well, I mean, that happens. It does. I mean, I've been through every age. Now, my kids and I were very, when they were toddlers, was that not a fun time? I was the smartest person in the world. They were so
cute.
Yeah,
you can walk on water, yeah.
And then, of course, as they grew and they got a social life and everything through the junior high and high school years, it was busier. And they did drift some. So what I started to do was I would say, we're going to have, well, when we'd have dinner together, we would always do a high-low, a game we'd play. Tell me the high of what happened to you today. Or tell me the low. And so that would open the conversation back up. Tell us what happened today, you know. And we wouldn't do it every day, but we would do it probably 3 times a week.
Yep.
And then as they got older, we would plan dinners. And I'd say, you know, hey, I'll take you out to dinner. And then I would say, take your cell phone and put it in the middle of the table. And whoever touches it first pays for the meal. Let me tell you, their arms would fall off before they touched that cell phone.
Yeah.
And so that gave us time to open up and talk. And we still do that. When I'm home, I try to at least once a week have breakfast with them. And then now they're married, you know, so their spouses come. But once in a while, I will say to them, could I have lunch alone with you? And so they'll tell me a time when their spouse is busy or something. And we'll do something. And it's always just a real treat. So you have to work at it. You really do. And make an effort. So I enjoy them. And actually, this is a fun age. They're grown up adults now. And we talk about, you know, it's kind of like a weird dynamic. Because it's like,
yeah,
I'm still
changes.
Mom, but I'm a peer kind of more.
Yeah. And I'm not your mommy, but I am your mom. I'm not your daddy, but I'm your dad.
Right. And so it's really kind of fun. You know, we had texts. We have group texts and stuff we do. So,
and a lot of times, you sometimes, when they become an adult over 18, you got to almost wait till they ask you a question. You can't just go barrage them every time they call,
right.
Every time they show up. Well, what have you been doing? What have you been doing? Why'd you do that? Well, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done this. Don't do that. They won't ever come over. They won't ever call. You got to be real open. You know, Jesus always answered a question with a question. You know, blind Bartimaeus, you know, what can I do for you, blind man? But, you know, Peter was with him, Lord, he needs some eyeballs. I'm not talking to you, Peter. I'm talking to the blind man. What can I do for you, blind man? Jesus always answered a question with another question. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can read it. What you trying to do? He's trying to get you to answer your own problem. It's in you. You know what to do. You just need to do it. So many times my kids, I remember I had a big fire pit out in the yard. I'd go out and build a fire. My wife knew exactly what I'm doing. I need to talk to a kid. So the kids come out on the porch, what are you doing? Building a fire. You going to roast anything? No, just building a fire, you know, because we lived out in the woods. We had a lot of trees, you know. And so, can I bring some marshmallows? Sure, bring them on. And so if you sit there quietly around the fire with the kid, they'll eventually ask you something. Hey, Dad, have you ever thought about this or dealt with this? No? Are you thinking about it? You know? What do you think you should have done? What do you think you should have done? Stay very calm. Don't hyper. My God, where did you hear that? Who told you that? Don't do that. You got to stay calm, especially talking to your kids. You stay calm, they'll keep at. They'll come back again. They'll come back again. But if you yell every time they ask you something, they're not ever going to talk to you again. They'll talk to one of their other friends just as dumb as they are. So keep the relationship open, but watch how you talk to them.
Yeah, because it does change. You have to kind of wait for that open door. So, you know, a lot of times we'll just talk about really surface stuff, but then all of a sudden something will come up. And
bingo.
Bingo. You know what? I just about laughed a while ago when Joe said, what do you think you should have do? And then you corrected it, should have done, and I almost burst out laughing. Sorry. All right, Joe, my husband wants to change jobs, but he is making good money. I don't want to discourage him, but I'm concerned that his new career won't be able to provide for us in the way his current one does.
Well, if a man's not happy going to work, he'll eventually lose that good job because there's bosses everywhere. And a boss knows when his employee's not happy. And the logical thing's going to be, hey, if you want to change, you need to change. You're the guy making the money. You're the one paying the bills. Go for it. And I've counseled several couples before. I said, listen, he's got his mind made up. One guy wanted to move to Alaska one time. I told her, hey, I want to move to Alaska. And she said, she came to me and said, my husband's gone stupid. He wants to move to Alaska. Well, tell him, let's go. Really? Yeah, come on. And so she said, well, okay, honey, if you want to go to Alaska, let's go. And we have to sell the house and probably get a different car, and let's get going with that. So they called the real estate agent, and they started the process. Hey, how much can we sell that? Well, there was a slump in the economy, so nothing was selling. And so they just started the process. She said it took about 2 months to realize, you know, I don't think I want to go to Alaska. Really? Well, let's just stay here then. But because she wanted to fight him over it. You fight him over it, he's going to resist. He's going to resist. Like kind draws like kind, but just kind of flow with it. Well, honey, let's just go. You know, what's the worst that could happen? We go through and realize it wasn't God, and we'll move back here and live in a trailer park and work two jobs. I work the midnight shift at Walmart. What's the worst that can happen? And sometimes you just got to talk it out. So
I have two little things I'd like to say about that. When I was divorced, I had to start a new career, and I was 40 years old. And
it's not funny, but
no,
it is.
There was nothing funny about it, and I hated it. It was a job. I absolutely hated it. And, oh, it was the most miserable place I've ever worked. Everybody there. I mean, literally, I went to the doctor one day, and she goes, where do you work? Your blood pressure is a little high. And I told her, and she goes, oof, I get so many patients from that place. That is a bad yeah. place to work.
Whoa, Hattie.
The economy wasn't doing well, and there wasn't a lot of options. I was a single mother. They trained me and gave me a new career. But after a few years, I felt like I was existing. I was no longer living. And my father passed away suddenly. And I remember driving home one day and thinking, my dad would not want me. My natural father would not want me to live like this. I'm not living. I'm existing. Well, I don't think my heavenly father would want me to live like this either.
Revelation.
So I went to the next city, got a job with a different company doing the same thing. And I made a lot more money and did a third of the work. And it was a much better atmosphere. It just totally changed. Well, I did that for a couple of years. Well, then there was an opportunity for me to make three times the amount of money, but I would have to become an independent contractor. I'd have to lose my benefits, the security of a corporate job. And so I had to take a risk, and it could have gone one way or the other. But I thought, what's the worst case scenario?
Yeah. Yes.
And so the worst case scenario is I would fail, I'd have to come back, and I'd have to start again in the same career. Well, That didn't seem that bad to me. And so I went for it, and it worked. And it worked great. And it changed my life as a single mother. And it was, liberating. So my son had just gotten out of college. He's a musician. And he had a job at doing catering. You know, he worked on the catering crew if they had an event or something. He was a waiter for big events and stuff. He said one time, "I can't believe they let me carry the wedding cakes." And I was like, "They let you carry the wedding cakes? Jesus, help us all." But anyway, he said to me, came to me one day, and he was just fresh out of college and, kind of struggling with where he was living with a bunch of guys and a dump. Yes, it was a dump. They liked it, but it had a funky aroma. Yeah. So, anyway, I remember he came to me and he said, "Mom, my manager says I need to quit that job and do music full time. What do you think?" And I said, "Do it." He goes, "What?" I said, "Do it." He goes, "What?" I go, "Son, I began the walk of faith when I was 19 years old. The greatest thing I ever did to trust God. I was young and dumb, and I didn't know any better. And if somebody said, God said to do this, I'd just go, okay.
All right.
And it would work.
All right.
And sometimes it was hard. Sometimes I had to really stretch my faith. I remember that's where I heard somebody say, the last 5 minutes of faith are the hardest. And I'm like, that is the truth. But I said to him, what is the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario is you have to move back home with me for a little bit, get another job, yep. Waiting tables. It's not that bad. But if you don't take this jump, you'll never know.
Yep.
And he did, and he never looked back.
Yep.
Everything went fine.
Yep.
So you have to be careful. If he's taking a step of faith, you don't want to hinder that.
Nope.
You want to trust God, but use wisdom as you take it. So
just tell him, sure, I trust you.
Yep.
Put the pressure back on him.
Tell him, I'm concerned, but I trust you. If you believe this is God, you're the head of this family. Come on, let's go for it.
Let's get this thing done.
I'm going to support you. So God always has a way.
Yes, he does.
So with that, we want to say thank you so much for joining us today. We love you so much. Thank you for your questions and your comments.
Thank you for your support.
Yes.
We could not do this without our partners. This would not be possible. So partners, thank you so much.
And if you've thought about supporting but you've just not done it yet, this would be a great time.
Perfect
time.
We sure
love you guys. Thank you so much for believing in the family.
Yes. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.